So on February 8th, 2010, at approximately 8:08 p.m., I fell on my face and shattered my skull into 27 pieces. The challenge with telling this story is that I don't remember this at all, really. So a lot of what I'm going to tell you is very transient because I suffered a traumatic brain injury and a golf ball-sized hematoma that lasted about 6 weeks. So after falling on my face, of which happened at, actually surprisingly, at Maryland Institute College of Art during a theater rehearsal that I was attending, I don't really remember much of what happened. I remember the sensation of falling and what it felt like to fall over, but I don't remember exactly why I fell over. I was told that I was pushing a prop box and I tripped over my own feet, which seems highly mundane considering that I'm an acrobat. So of all things that I could have fallen and done, I fell over my own feet. So I have the sensation of falling over, but I don't remember hitting the floor. I have the sensation of putting my hand to my head and remembering how wet and warm everything was. But I don't remember blood at all or red. This was also an event that happened in the middle of the snowpocalypse. So as one of the people who was attending this rehearsal called 911, she also got to watch while the ambulance drove for 30 minutes for two blocks. I don't remember who rode in the ambulance with me. I don't remember the ambulance ride. But to this day, I'm horrified by the sound of ambulances because it feels so guttural. I remember the very, very first thing that I could possibly remember at my accident, and that is of someone sitting on my chest, stapling my forehead together, which made me feel like a telephone pole. Literally, like ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. And I could feel to this day what that moment felt like. But I didn't remember why that was happening or what caused that to happen. I remember, again, everything being very warm and very wet, but I don't remember red and I don't remember blood. Through all of this that happened and through my very, very, very long ride to shock trauma, I ended up, in the end, at shock trauma, staring at the ceiling in my bedroom, which was to be my ward for 6 days while I recovered in intensive care. So during that portion, I had a lot of difficulty really understanding what was happening to me. I didn't understand really that I had a big ass accident. I didn't really understand that I had smashed my face into the ground simply by tripping over my own feet. And I didn't understand why I could really only see about one square tile on the ceiling, which I thought was really mostly due to the swelling of my face. I was told that my face was the size of like a watermelon and purple. And oddly enough, I have a Harry Potter scar, which most people don't realize goes from my forehead to 7 inches back of my head. So lying in this bed, trying to understand what happened, I had no concept of the kind of condition that I was actually in. I knew that I was in shock trauma, but they wouldn't show me a mirror so that I could see actually what I felt like. I knew that every single part of my body hurt. There are parts of my body that I didn't know existed that hurt to this day. Shattering my skull into 27 pieces, one of the parts that is pretty critical, I broke the base of my skull, which is one of the most painful things you can do to your body because it's where all the nerves go into your brain. I related that to feeling as though there were shards of glass in my head rotating very slowly. And I had that for about 6 weeks, that feeling. Back to lying in this bed, I became very familiar with this one single tile on the ceiling, not really wanting to move to the left, not really wanting to move to the right, not really wanting to move at all because everything hurt and everything was uncomfortable. But I still didn't understand the seriousness of my accident. Time went past. I had lots of family come, lots of friends come and take care of me and visit. But in the hospital, I never really understood the extent of what my condition was. At one point, the plastic surgeon came in very early on and said that there's nothing that I could do. And when a plastic surgeon says to you that there's nothing you can do after you've shattered your face in the floor, you're a little horrified. Luckily enough, my accident was considered a closed TBI, closed traumatic brain injury, which means my brain was not exposed to the air, which is really, really good. The challenge with the other things that happened is that I lacerated my optic nerve in my left eye, and I have optic neuropathy in my right eye. For the people in the audience who don't have a lot of the knowledge of medical history or practice as I do, it basically means that if you can see 100%, as everyone in the audience can think of their vision, you see about 180 degrees wide and about 170 degrees high. When I stare ahead at the audience, everything over here doesn't exist. And my field of temporal view is down to about 27 degrees. So I can see you guys right there. That's all I can see. And this all happened in so fast, so quickly, and so confusingly that I had no concept that this one tile on the ceiling was all I was going to see for the rest of my life. And so over my time of healing and over my time of trying to understand why this happened and what this happened and what this means for me as an individual changing my life, I realized that it really kind of means nothing. I've continued to be a lighting designer. I've continued to be an acrobat. I've continued to love and cherish my family and my friends. And I've continued to go on, which I'm really lucky that I can say that I have. So I would really, really encourage everyone in the audience that if you have something that's happened, to understand that you can go on and you can continue, and that just because one moment you world, you see everything, and now one moment you can only focus on sums, doesn't mean that you're a different person.